Well, synchronicity is one of those experiences where you really encounter perfect timing. You know, for instance, you know, you're looking for a job and suddenly you overhear a conversation where somebody is telling you where to get that job, you know, or you're sitting next to somebody on the plane and it turns out to be your soulmate. So the synchronicity to me is an incredibly intuitive moment.
Or you're thinking of somebody and they call you, right?
Yeah, exactly. They call you. And one thing I teach all my patients is to really keep on the lookout for synchronicities because they're so important. People overlook them. You know, when I teach people how to develop their intuition, one of the ways to develop it is to keep your eye out for synchronicities. As the thing is with intuition is that it can happen so quickly that you might overlook it or your mind could get in and say, oh, this doesn't mean anything. But when you're really in the intuitive zone, all kinds of synchronicities happen. You know, I write about this one example of a synchronicity in Second Sight where I went out on a date with this man who was this plastic surgeon. This was a number of years ago at Cedars.
He didn't roll his car too, did he?
Well, listen.
Oh, Judith.
This is what happened.
You got a bad track record here. Go ahead.
I have an interesting track record. With men, it's crazy being a psychic and a psychiatrist. Oh my God, it's like a double whammy. I'm telling you, it's very difficult in the romantic area because sometimes things turn out to be other than what it seems. Like with this man, we went on a date. He didn't seem particularly interested in me, but he began talking about death and my experiences of death. He wanted to know my view on the afterlife, and I have a very strong view about that in terms of the existence of the afterlife. So this whole date was spent talking about the afterlife and death. And then he never called me after that. And within a couple of weeks, I heard that he got killed on a motorcycle.
Oh, my God.
I know. So the date wasn't what it was seemed. It was like preparing him for his passage and transition.
And what are the odds of you possibly being on the back of that motorcycle? What do you think that could have been?
Probably zero.
He wasn't attracted to me, probably. You wouldn't have done that. Well, you know, here's a funny thing. Today I was having lunch with the radio legend Casey Kasem, okay?
Ah.
And his friends and some of his family. And I was thinking, you know, I got to call my mom. She would just love to just say hi to him because she listened to him during her years in Detroit. And just when I was going to do that, my mom calls me. Now, that's synchronicity. So I put her on the phone, and she said hi to Casey, and it was just a neat little thrill for her.
Yes.
But, I mean, how does this happen? What's out there in the universe that crosses paths and lets this occur?
It's the intuitive signal that goes out. And at that moment, your mom was receptive to it because this is something that was meaningful to her. And so it just goes out, and if you're tuned in, then it happens more and more and more. You see, most people miss it. And most people explain these things away as coincidence or in Freudian analysis, it's wish fulfillment. So there are all kinds of ways traditional medicine has of explaining it away. But what I'm seeing as a psychiatrist and an intuitive is that these experiences are very real. And not only that, they're fun. You know, when you can, you know, really get in the flow, it's like an athlete getting in the zone where you can open up to synchronicities and all kinds of things happen. I mean, on my flight to New York for this book tour, I sat next to somebody that I wanted to meet. And it would have,
really?
You know, yes. Yes. Yes, indeed.
That's something. I mean, how do you tune yourself up, though? People who don't have the ability of synchronicity who don't get a lot of deja vu, how do you tune yourself up? How do you tap into this?
Yes, well, that's what my book, Second Sight, is all about in terms of how to tap into this because I'm passionate about teaching people how to do this. And so the first way to do it in terms of synchronicities is just you have to spend a little bit of quiet time each day quieting the mind and just getting still and tuning into your gut and tuning into your body so that it's not just your mind going all the time because the synchronicities happen when you can develop your intuition. And that intuition comes from listening to how you feel about people. What does your gut say about somebody? It comes from, you know, really tuning in to any messages or transmissions that come when you're talking to somebody, or you're, you know, wanting to get inner guidance. It's going in. It's intuition is the art of inner listening. And the more you want to tune into that, you get on a certain vibe with the world. And when you're on this vibe, all these things happen. It's like you get in the zone. If you can, you know, begin to listen to intuition and not just stay trapped up in the head, because the linear mind is what cuts it off. And I know as a psychiatrist what people are doing in their mind. I mean, they're worrying most of the time, you know, or they're, you know, doing their to-do list, or there's some kind of, you know, endless task they're trying to perform, which they never have a chance to go inside and just be quiet and tune in, or even just to, you know, to do exercise, to do a walking meditation, to tune in. But it means listening to this inner voice and not explaining it away. You know, that's what's so important. And the more you do that, the more you get in the zone and more synchronicities happen. But I encourage everyone to be aware of this, you know, and not just be in your head walking down the street, but be aware of synchronicities and, you know, just being in the flow. It's, you know, it's really a sign of being connected to yourself. And, you know, it's very healthy. The flip side, though, is I've worked with patients who get too obsessed with synchronicities, where they're looking for it in every little thing. And that kind of kills it. You have to let it spontaneously flow a bit.
In your work, Second Sight, you talk about different forms of intuition. Let's go through them. What are
yes.
they?
Yes. Well, to develop intuition, you have to know how it comes through to you. And some people are clairaudient. And what that means is that you can hear voices, or you can have messages that are talking to you and that are giving you instruction, or you can hear songs. It's just a way. A lot of musicians are clairaudient because music is their way and auditory is their way of perceiving intuition. Or you can be clairvoyant, which means you see certain things. And this is one mode that I'm particularly attuned to in my own intuitive perceptions, where I see things all the time. They're like flashes.
Sure.
Where I'll get flashes, and it's quite beautiful to me. All of this is quite beautiful to me. You know, and then dreams are another form of intuition. I have a chapter on the alchemy of dreams in Second Sight.
That's a very powerful form of intuition, too, isn't it?
It is. It is, because it bypasses the linear mind. Every night when you go to sleep, you get transformed and transported mm-hmm. into other realms. I could only be awake for so many hours a day, and then I've kind of had it with the material world. I need to dream.
Can you shut down, though, whenever you want?
Not always, but a lot of times I have to. I mean, otherwise, as an intuitive, I'd be bombarded by, you know, impressions and intuitions all the time, as I was as a child, and that's not good. I mean, I've worked a lot with boundaries and turning it off when I'm not using it. So that, like, I'm in New York City now on book tour, and if I walk down the street and stay totally open to my intuition, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to get very far, because I'd be exhausted and bombarded by all the suffering, basically, that's out there, and all the people's thoughts. And, you know, I that's what happened to me as a child, and that's why I shut down.
You've been intuitive for a long, long time.
Yes, I've been intuitive since I've been a little girl. And I grew up in Los Angeles, and I was a little girl that had premonitions. No, I would predict things, but I'd only predict negative things and scary things.
Why?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I didn't realize it then. At the time, I thought there was something wrong with me and I was causing these things. But in retrospect, I realized they're just easier to pick up on an intuitive level. They're a louder signal. Trauma and any kind of crisis just comes through louder. And to an untrained ear, or an untrained intuitive, or children who are intuitive, that's what they pick up, and that's what freaks them out all the time. And so, you know, in Second Sight, I really talk about how, you know, with children, it's very important for parents to come in and help them understand these intuitions, instead of what happened with me, where I just shut them down, and my parents didn't allow them.